This is Roland Berger.
Roland Berger.
Roland Berger.
Welcome back to episode number 2 of the Roland Berger People Insights podcast.
Pride Week edition.
Hi, I'm Miro.
Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Ben. I work as communications manager at Roland Berger and have the pleasure to be your host. In this episode, we're diving into a topic that's both deeply personal and profoundly collective: allyship. What does it really mean to be an ally? How can we show up for one another, not just during Pride Week or in moments of visibility, but every day, in every room, every moment of life? And I have the privilege that two amazing colleagues are helping me out in finding answers to all of those questions. Meet Lena and Meryl. Thank you both for having you here on the podcast. So, since when are you at Roland Berger and what do you do, Meryl?
Yes, so I've been at Roland Berger since 1.5 years now, and I work as a consultant and I really enjoy it. I work in the Amsterdam office, so we're actually all generalists over there, but I mainly did projects related to the energy field.
Lena, since when are you at Roland Berger and what do we do at Roland Berger?
So I've been with Roland Berger since 2 years now, and I am focused on strategy consulting in the financial services sector. So I help banks and every company in this area to make sense of complexity and structure decisions.
Before we get started, let's warm up with 5 quick questions. Meryl, city life or country life?
Country life. I really like the nature.
Lena, now it's your turn. City life or country life?
Definitely city. I need my matcha, latte, yoga, everything nearby. So,
early bird or night owl?
Difficult one, but I would say night owl.
Night owl. It's just when my productivity peaks.
Online meeting or in-person meeting?
In person. It's just nicer. You miss a lot of the non-verbal communication if you're online, I would say.
I think also in person.
Planning or improvising?
Planning, definitely. I like having control, I would say.
Planning. Sometimes I pretend to improvise, but...
Sports or relaxation?
Relaxation, yeah.
I like to combine it in yoga.
Thank you very much for your answers. That was very interesting. But now let's dive into our topic for today. Meryl, what is Roland Berger's Pride Week about? And what does it mean to you personally?
So Roland Berger's Pride Week is all about being yourself. It's about also being proud about that, not having to hide who you really are, and just being open about it and celebrating all kinds of love and identities together with your colleagues.
Lena, would you like to add something to that?
Yeah, same for me. It's kind of like a moment where diversity isn't just acknowledged, but deliberately given space, I would say. So it's about really being able to bring full identity into the professional context.
Do you remember the moment when you first started learning about queerness in general?
Of course, I was quite young, so it was kind of confusing and affirming at the same time. The way I approached it, I would say, is a way lots of queer people approach it. By first going on the internet and doing like a Am I Queer quiz. So that was kind of how I remember it. That was a really, really crazy experience.
So do you have a moment where you remember when you were on the internet or maybe on a different place where you found or witnessed the idea of Pride and people coming together and celebrating that? Do you remember that?
I remember my first like a Pride celebration in the form of like Christopher Street Day, CSD. That was really impressive. A lot of noise, but also like the first time for me, I felt this collective queerness in one place, not isolating. But I realized that there's like a community, and it felt really wholesome.
Meryl, can you remember your first contact or finding Pride as a concept, and what were you thinking about it?
Yeah, so for me, I think I really grew up with the idea that it doesn't really matter who you are, who you love. I don't really can pinpoint the moment where I noticed, okay, this is something
that's yeah, this is something do you have, like, the only thing I knew was that you can be proud of whoever you are, and that doesn't matter. But I can maybe pinpoint one moment during my youth where I first met the first person who was going through a transgender process, and that really made a large impact on me. Maybe I can elaborate a bit on that experience and what the impact was for me. Yeah, so I met this boy who had been born into the body of a woman, and he was really also trying to become also physically a man, but he didn't get the support he needed from his parents. And as he was still a minor, that meant he couldn't go through a transition either physically or legally. So he still had his female name, and the whole, yeah, there was just nothing he could do about it without his parental approval. And eventually he got placed out of his house, and it was just such a big impression on me to see how you can struggle and how difficult it is if you're not supported in the right way. So that really impacted me profoundly. Now, therefore, it's important that everybody feels the pride and to be themselves. I think that's really important also, that everybody supports that as much as they can.
Yeah. And to support that, we have some initiatives at Roland Berger. And that answers the next question, because there are many areas where you can support other people, helping them to be themselves. And the workplace is one of them. And Lena, can you tell me a little bit more about Just Be?
Yeah, of course, I can do so. Just Be is Roland Berger's LGBTQIA+ network. It's a community that offers visibility, a voice for internal discussions, and support about across all levels for queer and non-cisgender people in general. I joined last year, and have thus now found a really, really wholesome community there.
Can you tell a little bit more about what Just Be does?
Yeah, sure. So we engage with the whole company and just foster discussions about diversity and how also other people from that are not from the LGBTQI+ community can make an impact to foster a inclusive community at Roland Berger. We, for example, do panel discussions, or we have the Pride Week, where we also in the offices have different celebrations for to make the LGBTQI network more visible, and just create awareness about the topic.
And what is Just Be Friends?
So Just Be Friends is our allyship network. So these are the colleagues who want to engage, also want to challenge norms proactively, and kind of be an advocate for inclusion, exactly, without necessarily needing a stage for it. Yeah.
Do you remember a moment where you would say that you are felt very included or very comfortable in comparison to maybe other workplaces?
Yeah, I think especially in my experience on my project, where I often had the chance to work with a really diverse team, I had the experience that I always in every situation, I don't have to, I don't know, assess the room before I decide how open I can be. I always feel like, I don't know, language interactions and just leadership in my team reflected that identity isn't something that needs to be managed, so that I felt able to open up. And yeah, I think just at Roland Berger, inclusion is not just like the work behind, it's a lot of work behind the scenes. It's not just the Pride events, but it's also like ongoing, like inclusive communications, also leadership visibility for the topic, lots of training formats, and especially, of course, the network building on every level.
Now we have the 9 pledges, and it clearly states that you want to be an inclusive, diverse company because of many reasons. And we learned that people are the best when they can be who they are. And so they laid, I think, 2 years ago, the foundation to make it clear for everyone who's joining the company that that's our part of our values and we want to live that. So the next part is more about allyship. And what does it mean for you to be an ally?
So for me, being an ally just means supporting everybody to be themselves. And I think, especially in a group where you're mostly a minority, you really need people around you who are not necessarily identifying with this minority to support you and to raise their voices. Because I can imagine it sometimes quite frightening to raise your voice, especially in situations where you might even be at risk for being yourself in certain countries, for example, or even feel threatened by other people around you. So that makes it even more important to have allies around you who can stand up for you and stand together, as with more people, you're stronger.
I think in general, small acts of allyship happen all the time. Everybody around me is just very supportive of the LGBTQ plus community. And there has never been a moment where real brave allyship was needed. Or I don't notice it. And I think that's also what's sometimes challenging. Like, you want to be a good ally, but of course, it's still very difficult to really imagine how it would be to be in someone else's shoes. So I think it's probably both ways, that you want to be an ally, but sometimes you don't always notice immediately when you could have been an ally.
Lena, can you remember a moment where allyship made a difference?
Yeah, so I mean, for me, there are both settings where I think where allyship could have helped, but also where it already made a difference. So I had both settings. For example, one time it really helped when my project manager stepped in when there was kind of like a homophobic scene happening at the client side. So this is something where we can, Roland Berger, I think we can really trust on our leadership. And sometimes it could also still help even further. I realized that often if people would like step in or say something when kind of heteronormative assumptions are made about other people, because that can sometimes be kind of uncomfortable for queer people, especially if they're not feeling that open or that able to open up in a situation.
If you want to give advice to someone who wants to be a better ally, but doesn't know how to start to be a better ally, what can you tell them?
I would say it doesn't have to be a big thing indeed where you have to start. I think just minding indeed, it also aligns a bit with what Lena just said. Minding simple words such as asking about someone's girlfriend, boyfriend, just using the word partner already makes a big difference. If you just stand there and use the word partner, everybody feels like they can share about who their partner is, regardless of their gender or whatever. So that's easy things you can rather easily build into your daily language. And indeed, I think it's trying to see as much as you can, of course, because it's all really difficult. But try to place yourself in someone else's shoes and see, and try to see what would be the impact of what you're saying, what you're doing on the people around you. That is very difficult, of course, because you never can really understand what's going on. But then there's also the part where you can connect with the people and ask, hey, is this okay? Or what could I do better? Because as you said, we're still learning all, and I think it's a process.
Lena, would you like to add something?
Yeah, so I would also say you don't necessarily need a script or something to be a good ally. I just think it's more about awareness in general and consistency. Yeah, and sometimes kind of also the willingness to get things wrong without then being defensive in some way.
Do you have maybe some examples where you say, hey, those are the classical things people, you know, trying being helpful, but it's often, I don't know, not received in a positive way because it makes situations uncomfortable or so. Do we have some examples you can give us?
I think kind of like asking questions that are really putting people into stereotypes, kind of. Or even, that is one thing. I mean, for example, I don't know, who's the man in your relationship, you know? Even if they don't mean it, it can be really offensive. Or even asking, thinking that, assuming that because people are out, that they can be asked any really personal question about their sexuality. So just because I'm out and say that I'm queer doesn't necessarily mean I want to talk about my sex life in general in these settings. So,
are there misconceptions or even myths about allyship you like to debunk? I ask Lena first, then go to Meryl.
Yeah, I think one misconception is maybe that pride is primarily about like celebration for queer people. It is about visibility, and of course it can be a party and joyful. But I think also for many people, it's 1 week, or like a month. It's also like June is Pride Month, you know. It's for queer people also the time to openly navigate in spaces that are sometimes still not designed for them. So yeah, and another thing is that Pride is also it's not seasonal. it doesn't just end after Pride Week or like after Pride Month, July 1st. The queer people don't just disappear. They are just not as visible anymore.
Meryl, do you would like to add something to that?
I think one of the largest misconceptions I notice around me about pride and diversity is people saying that we're already there. Like, why are we still celebrating pride? Everybody can legally get married to whatever they want. Why are we still focusing on this? This is so 2010. But if you look around you, if you really look around you, that's really not the case. And it's really important. Like, even if you look in other countries further from where we are now, you really see that we're not there yet, not even close. And we really need to step up together and do whatever we can to make everybody, and not just everybody around us, but everybody, feel like they can be themselves. It's really, really important. So with this, if you're still doubting whether it's still necessary, please look around you.
Lena, what's something you wish more people would understand about the LGBTQIR+ experience at work?
I think, I think one thing that people often think is that once you're out, then kind of the topic's resolved, you know? I think people from the LGBTQAI+ community, I think they need to out themselves kind of over and over again at work. So that's one point. You know, you get into a new situation with a client, and then you have to correct them again that you don't have a husband, that you have a girlfriend, for example. And yeah, that's just one example. Just people realizing, I think, that queerness at work is like an ongoing background process for queer people. So you're always kind of checking tone, assessing reactions, and deciding what's safe to share or not.
We already talked about it a little bit, but I still will ask away anyway. And that is, how can we keep the spirit of Pride alive beyond just 1 week a year? No, we always have those sustainability weeks, focus on sustainability, Pride Week, Diversity Week, and so on, ability. And what can we do as allies, as example, to bring that further into the year?
Yeah, I think, as I already said, it's just by anchoring like pride or inclusion into everyday structures with inclusive teams, like leadership, like diverse teams, leadership, development. Yeah, just watching out for the language we use day by day and the things we assume. Being empathetic, as you already said beforehand, just trying to be a better human in that sense. Yeah, not necessarily making pride louder in that sense, but just making it normal on a day-to-day basis.
When we talk about allyship, we can also talk about role models. And I want to ask, what is important for other companies when they think about establishing or foster more role models in different areas of their hierarchy, and what should they keep in mind?
Yeah. So I think it's really important that there is a good representation of different diverse people also in the higher leadership. Of course, we're coming from a world where traditionally there are more heterosexual, cisgender people in business, and that's still reflected to a large extent in our leadership. And I think it really helps for people who are starting their career who might not be, who might not identify with this heterosexual, cisgender personality, that they can recognize themselves in these leadership roles, and that they can see that it is possible, and that they feel like they can get there as easily as someone else. And I think that will really help if we eventually have more people in leadership, more diverse leadership.
Lena, you mentioned a topic that was very interesting, or is very interesting. You said language, the language we use every day. Can you give me some examples where maybe you personally roll your eyes when people talk like that, and you're like, ugh. This is the opposite of allyship, or this is speech or language you shouldn't use because of, that would be maybe very helpful for people.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is a really controversial topic also, but I think, I mean, in the daily work life, we just use, most of the time use a male pronouns, or the male version of words while speaking. So that is one point. Yeah, but As I said before, especially when talking to people, using like heteronormative terms for partnerships, for example, that is one main point. But people could maybe educate also themselves a little bit more about what are the different terms in the queer universe. I mean, it's quite complex, and but I think if you know more about, I don't know, what is the difference between being, I don't know, pansexual or like queer, and what is then bisexuality, then you get confused less, and then you can use these terms more inclusive and make less wrong in that sense. Use the terms the right way. I mean, it's quite complex, and I wouldn't say that this is step one, because there are, I think, few steps before that. Just informing themselves can be helpful for people who want to be a good ally.
Over the last decade, we had some amazing events around DEI topics, and of course, Pride Week. So is there anything specially planned for this year's Pride Week?
One highlight this year for the LGBTQAI plus community at Roland Berger, it's the Pride Parade in Berlin, where we are represented as a company for the first time. So I think this is also a great occasion for visibility for us, to show as a company that we stand behind our values of diversity values, especially in the context of the different DI back rollbacks in the past month. I think this is a great way to show where we stand as a company.
Thank you very much to Meryl and Lena. You both were amazing. If you'd like to know more about Roland Berger, our initiatives and the way we work and what values we are holding up, then visit our career website. And of course, do not forget to follow our social media channels. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Ben, and I'm looking forward to have you on board on the next episode of the Roland Berger People Insights podcast. Have an amazing week. And of course, happy Pride to everybody.